Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all. No!
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
true sir. Story.
Yes, sir.
I am Steve-O. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
And I am Brum-brum.
Yes. Or Pastor Nate Heitzig.
Yeah.
What up, girl?
What's up, dog?
How you feeling, yo?
Baby love. Good, man. I'm in my swimming trunks, so
you
I'm
are.
Happy about that.
Yeah, that's cool. You're totally breaking dress code. We just had to fill out, like, the crazy dress code thing.
I don't subscribe to that.
Yeah. You know, the dress code does state, the Calvary dress code does state that unless otherwise specified by the supervisor, and being that I am the program director of Static Radio, I said, Sunday nights don't count because I come in my PJs and Nate comes in PJs or swim trunks. So, and nobody else is in the building, so who cares? So we have a special Shock Therapy Live dress code.
The dude does not abide.
The dude does not abide.
Nope.
We are not privy to the new information.
No way.
So.
No way. I want my freaking rug.
That's right.
Give it to me.
Welcome to Shock Therapy Live. Steve-O, Pastor Nate Heitzig. We are here. The phone lines are officially open. 505-338-3700, the phone number. Dude, maybe you're trying to break a habit. Maybe you're just dealing with something and you need to talk to somebody about it. Maybe you've been dealing with an issue. You've never let it out of the bag. No better way than to just confess that, dude, and get going in the opposite direction. And that's what Shock Therapy Live is about. 505-338-3700. Or, of course, facebook.com/mystaticradio. Crazy weekend, dude.
Dude, John Bones Jones beat the tar out of Rashad Evans.
He dismantled
that was fun.
That was not fun.
So fun. Man,
was
I was
horrible.
So happy.
That was horrible.
God was so glorified.
Everybody, shut up. Everybody was happy last night. Barbecue at the house and threw down some UFC action. And I'll tell you what, it was a good fight.
It
sort
was a
of.
Great fight, man.
If you're a John Bones Jones fan, I was pulling for Rashad, and he got dismantled.
Dude, John Bones Jones has defended his title now three or four times.
Four times. Yep.
Man.
Yep.
So cool.
We need to get him on the show.
I know.
He's a believer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You said you were going to work on that like a year and a half ago.
I know. I'll call Ricky tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'll make it happen.
Do it.
It's going to happen, buddy.
Do it.
So anyways, yeah, dude. I'm not going to lie. It's been a rough weekend. My head is killing me, and I had to do something today that I never, ever have to do, and that's confront a friend on sin. Can I just say right now, that sucks.
Yeah, totally.
I hate that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, because, you know, you don't know how to start that conversation, and I was turning red-faced already just thinking about it, so by the time I got up to him, you know me, like, I can't nonchalantly just be like, hey, man. Can I talk to you because I care about you and you're my friend? I'm like, what is wrong with you? What are you doing? You know what the Bible says? Are you stupid? Yeah, it didn't go down exactly like that, but, you know, it's been a day.
Dude, those are those are never fun.
They're never fun, but they're also important. And I'll tell you what, one of the best people in the universe to me will always be Asher Barrett because he was big enough and friend enough and strong enough and man enough to confront me on my sin. And, One of my favorite people because of it. Because it was the catalyst that kind of pointed myself to myself.
Mm.
And, man, just kind of put the mirror up and I realized what I was doing. And, yeah, man, so... but I'm praying for a dear friend right now because it always sucks.
Dude.
When you have a friend who's just going through something.
Yep.
And they refuse to, you know...
Accept the truth.
Accept the truth or turn away, you know, or just, you know... yeah.
It's a frustrating
going
thing.
Going a different direction.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
Sin,
but,
sin sucks.
Sin does suck.
Yeah.
It's hard, dude. It's not fun. And it's not fun to talk about. But that's what Shock Therapy Live is here for. And just so you know, yeah, it's pretty real. We talk about some pretty serious things, and none of us are immune to it. And I found that out today, having to deal with a dear friend, you know. It sucks.
It was so funny. My mother-in-law listened to the show last week.
Okay.
Because she was in town.
I was going to say, from California?
Yeah. And I got back, and it was just, last week it was a great show. It was
yeah.
a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. We came back, and I was like, so what do you think? She's like, She just gave me a face. I was like, what does that mean? She's like, well, it's good. It's good that you guys are talking about this stuff, but you just use some words.
Yeah, right.
You use some words that were just bad, scary words.
My
and I was like, and I was like, yeah, we use the word masturbation.
Yeah.
And she was like,
yeah.
And I was like, but if we're not talking about it, who is?
Yeah.
You know, who's talking about it with their kids? If Christians aren't the ones that are discussing it and the biblical views of it, then, you know, we can't be idiots and think that they're not hearing about it, because they are.
Yeah.
And you know, so it's a real show, but it's real for a purpose. It's designed that way. We're not trying to be jerks. We're not trying to be punks. We're trying to talk about things that need to be talked about in the church. And, you know, we open up a portal and a door for people to ask questions that they can't ask anywhere else. Yeah. And we've seen God do some great things through it. So, you know, we've seen God move through it, and we're continuing to see God move through it, and it's really cool to do.
Yeah.
So I would say encourage yourself to be willing to talk to people about stuff, you know?
Yeah.
There's a reason why people are leaving the church, and it's because they don't feel like they can really be real. That's one of the biggest reasons that college students and, you know, high school students are leaving the church when they graduate, is that they feel that there's nothing real there. They feel it's hypocrisy. They feel it's fake.
Yep.
So if we can't be real with them, then it's really a detriment to Christ more than anything else. So I think it's so important to be real and talk about real things. And give people a real experience with Jesus, and realize that, guess what? Jesus dealt with prostitutes.
Yeah.
And I would really wonder what he talked to them about. Like, if he was just like, hey, I know you did a naughty thing. It was naughty. Like, or if he was serious with them.
I
look at when Jesus was at the woman of the well, he said, no, you've been with like 8 men.
Right.
Like, you've done this, you've done that. And he like spelled out her sin to her. I don't think he was like, I know what you did.
Right. He didn't pass a note that said,
Jesus,
I know what you did
Jesus
last summer.
Explain to me what that means. Nope. It's a bad word. I can't
it's
say
bad.
It.
I
wonder if he got a little smile and googled, nope.
Jesus, I can't say these things.
I can't think about that. No, I mean, it's like, so we got to be real.
Absolutely. You know, I'm not going to lie. Last week's show, absolutely incredible. We had one person email in who had been struggling with masturbation, as you said. For the last 15 years of their life, since the time they were 5 years old. And so my pastor actually used that from the pulpit today, talking about it, you know, wise and what is innocent. And he started talking about the show, and he said masturbation from the pulpit. And I'll tell you what, even I got a little nervous, because I'm like, dude, you can't say that from the – you're talking about me. Stop. And I got – because you're right. It's still one of those things where we don't like to talk about these things because they're bad, you know?
You know, it's incredible. I've found even from the pulpit, when you're real with people, it's a lot more convicting.
Yeah.
You know, and when I do altar calls now, I'll straight up say, you know, I don't know why you're – what you're dealing with in here. You might be completely addicted to pornography. You might masturbate. You might be caught in illicit sex. You might be caught doing drugs, you know. And I'll spell out some of those things, because I think sometimes it's so vague. We can say, you might be in here struggling with sin. And people justify their sin. So when they hear that, they're like, I'm not sinning.
Right.
But when you spell out what they're doing, they're like, oh, crap. How did he know that I was doing that before I came here?
Right.
You know what I mean? And it becomes way more real. And again, I think that's what people need. I think people need reality. People don't need this, you know, and sometimes we don't even use sin. Maybe you're caught in a struggle. You know, we need to be real with people that, look, this is what sin is, and this is what the Bible says about it, and this is how you can change.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we're doing a detriment to our culture, to our generations, and to our society when we're fake.
Yeah, absolutely. Shock Therapy Live, that is the purpose of the show. I'm Steve-O. With me, Pastor Nate Heitzig. The phone number is 505-338-3700. We got an email question. We got some Facebook questions. But if you'd like to get in on the conversation, facebook.com/mystaticradio. Or, of course, you can email us if you'd like to keep it anonymous.
Yeah.
And that's studio@mystaticradio.com. What do we got?
Let's do our email question, because
okay.
It's funny and it makes me happy.
It's a serious question.
Hardly.
It is. Maybe to him it is.
Maybe.
You don't know.
Yeah, maybe if you're a stalker.
What is happening?
Hello.
Okay,
man,
go.
I hate this mic.
Hey, Brian Nixon.
Brian Nixon.
Okay, anyways.
Yeah.
Oh!
Hey. Hello.
So if you'd like to support Static Radio, we are a listener-supported station, and our equipment sucks.
Microphone would be so nice.
Yeah, dude, they're like $500. Hit us up. MyStaticRadio.com. There's a huge donate button. You can.
Hello?
Yeah, there you go.
Can I plug my iPhone into the board and just talk into that? Because that would sound better.
No, you cannot, dude.
Should I just call into the show? Hey, okay, yeah.
What's the email say?
So the email says, I'm just waiting. It's okay. Hello? Okay. All right, the email is this. Hey, guys, I have two questions for you. Okay, I'm. Don't laugh.
Okay.
What's better, a side hug or a front hug? Christians seem to favor a side hug because it's less ...body on body, I guess? I just think it's kind of funny, but I get why the front hug can be a little dirty. My second question is, what does it mean to fear God? Two questions, opposite spectrums.
Right.
You know, one of my favorite authors wrote a chapter on the side hug in a book called Stuff Christians Like.
No way.
And one of the things Christians like is the side hug.
Of course.
It's non-threatening.
Right.
It's slightly friendly. You can comfort without, you know, appearing to the world like there might be an affair going on.
Right.
I mean, it's very strange.
Yeah.
Man, I don't care how you hug somebody as long as you're not creepy. I think it deals with the person, not with the hug. I don't think frontal hugs are creepy unless you're given a frontal hug with a mullet, a mustache, and like a little wink when you do it.
And your hands go into the other person's back pockets.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
back pocket hugs, never good.
Probably not a good thing.
Yeah. I really prefer the over-the-shoulder, two hands on the buttocks hug is my favorite hug. But I only do that with really close friends. I gave Steve one of those hugs before the show started.
True story, actually.
But
so.
No, you know, what's better, a side hug or a front hug? I guess it depends on who you're hugging, maybe.
Yeah.
Who
I'll
you're
give
hugging.
My mom a full frontal.
Who you're hugging and who you are.
Yeah.
If you're a 46-year-old gentleman and you give a 13-year-old girl a front hug, I'll punch you in the face.
Unless it's your daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're, you know, coming up to someone that you know, don't give them a frontal hug. I don't know.
I know. You can try and lay out the rule, but the problem is people are going to hear that and go, oh, okay, cool. So I can give a frontal hug to this person, and this person, or I can, you know what I mean? And they're going to start trying to justify.
Yeah, if you're a creeper, don't give front hugs.
Yeah, if you have to think about whether or not you should be hugging that person, you shouldn't be hugging
that person.
If you just
heard the show and you're like, oh man, there's that really hot girl at church, now I can give her a front hug. Don't do that. You're
don't
a creeper.
Yeah, even if
you get punched in the face by me or someone else.
Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, even if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery. So even if you side hug a girl with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery.
For me, I don't even think about it. I just come up and give people hugs. Hey, what's up, man? And I give people hugs. I'm just a hugger.
Yeah.
So if you're not a hugger, don't hug people because it'll be awkward. Be like, hey, and you'll try to figure out how to give the right kind of a hug. If you want the only thing the Bible talks about, it says greet each other with a brotherly kiss.
Yeah, I'm not gonna.
But if
kiss
you greet me with a kiss, I'll give you a slap in the face. So let's not.
It's cultural.
Let's not take the biblical standpoint on this one.
Yeah.
And let's just say if you're a creeper, don't hug people.
Yeah, there you go. And I agree. Now you do need to be careful because I have a dear friend who used to be a hugger who now is kind of nervous about hugging because it gave off the wrong impression to someone of the opposite sex and was like, whoa, 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 no. I'm just a friendly dude. I'm just a bro. And now this chick is stalking me. So, you definitely want to be careful, use discernment with it because some people are just weird, dude. They really are. Just freaky.
Yeah. And then the second part of his question says, what does it mean to fear God? That's a good question.
Yeah.
It's a theology question, but we'll answer it. So I think the best way to put it is it's a holy fear. It's not a fear like I'm scared God's going to strike me down.
Right.
But it's a holy fear that you're scared. Man, I keep hearing myself go.
A reverence?
Yeah, it's a reverence.
A
it's a holy reverence.
It's
a holy awe.
Yeah.
I think that's a good word. It's a holy awe.
Yeah.
And it's a holy awe and a fear to do anything that would displease God.
Yeah.
And I think I think that's the thing. It's a righteous fear, and I think it's the same kind of fear that you would have, in a different way, but of what a kid would have to a righteous parent,
yeah.
A parent who's righteous, and raises their kids and loves their kids. That child has a holy fear to displease their parents,
right.
You know. And it gets to a point. I remember growing up, it got to a point with my dad where I'd do something when I did something really big. Sometimes my dad would just give me the look like, man. And one time he even said, "You really disappointed me today." And he didn't like spank me or discipline me. I was like, "Spank me! Come on, like do something!"
Right.
And it was a holy fear, not because I was scared to get disciplined. It became a thing where I don't want to hurt him. Yeah. I don't want to hurt his heart.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing. It should be a fear of hurting their heart. That, man, I love God so much. I don't want to hurt his heart. I don't want to grieve him. I think that's what correct view on a fear of God is.
I like that. I mean, as a parent, it's easier, I think, to understand that fear of God now, because you're right. As a parent or as a child, we're all children of somebody. You know what I mean? And so to have that reverence and that respect and that wonder. Now, there still is, I think of the way C.S. Lewis put it with Aslan. You know, he's a lion, but he's not a tame lion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's still a lion, and that's still kind of scary sometimes. And I have a fear of God sometimes because I'm worried that he is going to do something crazy. Because let's be honest, sometimes he'll drop a bomb of awesome on you, but he does it in a crazy. I think of Job. You know what I mean? He allowed Satan to go ahead, dude, sift through, but you can't touch him. And did it turn out well for him in the end? Absolutely. And God blessed Job tremendously. However, man, that was a...
I don't want to go through a Job.
That was a hard... Yeah, or you think of Joseph, or you think of... So there are those situations where I'm like, well, I don't want to pray for patience because then my car's going to break down, and then my... You know what I mean? Somebody's going to hack my bank account, and then... And you think of these situations where, you know, you never know. And of course... Is that God or is that just some jerk face, you know, hacking your account? You know, did God really want you to go through that, or is it, you know?
Yeah,
you know,
that gets into such a crazy.
So
that gets into the idea of right and wrong and evil.
Yeah,
there's evil in the world. Did God make that happen?
Did God?
You know, and I think it's really important with I always use this. People say, "Well, God, why would God let that happen?" I had a conversation with someone the other day. You know, this person, they died, and I just don't understand. They were, why would God let that happen? And I said, you know, I think sometimes there's a difference between God letting things happen, like with words with Job, where, and this is the thing with Job and with Satan and God. God didn't even cause that evil to happen. He just said, "Satan, go ahead, but you can't do this."
Right.
And it wasn't even God necessarily bringing that. He was just kind of saying, you know, he was just letting Satan go. So I always approach it two ways. One, it's awesome that God doesn't let Satan go all the time.
Right.
Because if Satan had free reign,
then
the world would be chaos. You know, everyone would be miserable. Mm. But the fact that God restrains Satan means a lot, and that's huge. So if we think about all the awesome that's in the world, all the good that's in the world, that's because God's restrained Satan. So I would say that like 99% of the time, God's restraining Satan, and 1% he's letting Satan go, and it sucks then. And when that happens, we're like, man, why would God let that happen? But I was talking to this person, and she was talking about someone dying, and I said, you know, I think sometimes we can say there's a difference between God letting things happen and there's a difference between things happening.
Right.
People die.
Yeah.
100% of people will die.
Yeah.
And it's not like God's like letting people die. It's the fact that people are going to die.
Yeah.
It would be unfair for God to step in and say, okay, people aren't dying anymore, because that would take away the free will, and that would mean that God would have to save us all and we'd all go to heaven immediately. So if we really want to blame anybody for people dying, let's blame Adam, because the Bible says just as through one man sin entered the world and through sin death, and death spread to all men, it really originated with Adam. But realistically, let's blame ourselves, because we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God.
Yeah.
So sin and unrighteousness and pain and suffering and death really results in, boils down to us.
Yeah.
And we're the ones to blame, not God.
Yeah. There it is, dude. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live, 505-338-3700. The phone number, that's 505-338-3700. We got another email question. You can email us if you'd like, studio@mystaticradio.com. Do you want to take this now, or should we take this first break here? Got a quick break we need to take.
Let's take a quick break.
Okay, cool. We're going to take our first break, and when we come back, we got an email question, we got some Facebook questions we'd need to get to, and if you would like to chime in, the easiest way, 505-338-3700, or of course, facebook.com/mystaticradio.
Shock Therapy Live. Maybe this time the treatment will take. Follow tonight's topic at facebook.com/mystaticradio or at 505-338-3700. If you think you can handle the spewing of hard truth, time to treat more of your disorders with Steve-O and Nate. This is Shock Therapy Live.
Boom! Welcome back.
Yes, 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 yes.
Shock Therapy Live with Steve-O. That's me. And Pastor Nate.
That's me.
That's right, dude. We're hanging out with you. And if you'd like to get in on the conversation, we've got an email question. I promise we'll get to you in un momento. We also have a few Facebook questions. But if you'd like to chime in, 505-338-3700. Oh, he just hung up. Aww, we lost our phone caller. All right. Hey, if you're listening, call us back. 505-338-3700. We got a Facebook question, didn't we? We got a few, actually.
Yeah,
so
the Facebook question is kind of a theology question, but we can ask it. Well, actually, we've got two Facebook questions. Let's do this one first.
Okay.
The book, Heaven is for Real. I haven't read it, but I've heard about it. Have you heard about that book?
The Heaven is for Real?
It's that person who, like, I think, no, that's the Seven
that
Minutes
the
in Heaven or something.
They died and they went to heaven.
Yeah, I don't
know. And
they
were like, Grandma! And then they were like, oh, but your time's not finished. You got to go back. And they were like, I saw this movie once.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I've never read it.
Yeah.
And the question is, I know God can do awesome, crazy things, but how do we know if this stuff is of God or staged?
Ooh.
Good question. Easy answer. The Bible. Anytime you hear someone say something that this is what God did, you align it with the Bible. And if there's any part of it that is not in line with what the Bible says, then it is false, simply. Simply put, a false prophet is someone who speaks lies. And by lies, we say it doesn't line up with the Bible. So if it doesn't line up with the Bible and you read something, you're like, wait, that doesn't seem right. And then you go and you research it, and sure enough, it doesn't line up with the Bible, then it's a lie, it's false, and they're a false prophet. If it does line up with the Bible and everything seems good, then it's really kind of a discernment thing that, you know, and it really boils down to, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, that's it. No, that's it. You got to line it up with Scripture. Right? We had a caller on Friday on the morning show call in and say, I've been watching the 700 Club and they keep telling me to send them money. And then people give their stories about, like, I gave $500 and this is how God blessed me. Is that real? And I said, well, what does Scripture say? What do you think?
Yeah.
You know, and so we got into that conversation because they wanted to know, yeah, well, God can do those things, but what is it? And I said, dude, I definitely don't think it's because somebody gave $500 to the 700 Club. That's why God blessed their lives.
Yeah.
But I mean, at the same time,
I just got a prayer rug sent to me from an 80-year-old church.
Are you being serious? Or
no,
are you being,
literally.
Okay, I never know when you're...
I'm being completely serious. And actually, a couple of my friends did as well. It was an envelope, and it said, we're loaning this to you. We're an 80-year-old church, and we
believe
God
that.
Can do... Yeah.
I didn't open it.
No, if you open it, there's a little prayer rug in there.
Stop it right now.
No, with Jesus' face on it.
Are you serious?
Completely.
I got one of those.
Yeah.
But the envelope was so creepy, I didn't want to open it.
Oh, it's a prayer rug.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's crap. If you got one of those, that's a lie.
That's called spam.
Yeah.
And just throw it away.
Yeah. Yeah. Burn it.
So how do we know if the book is for real? I don't know.
Once again,
line
up with the Bible.
2 months shy of this kid's fourth birthday, Colton Burpo, the son of an evangelical pastor in Nebraska, was rushed into emergency surgery. His appendix burst. He woke up with an astonishing story. He had died and gone to heaven, where he met his great-grandfather, Samson, John the Baptist, and Jesus, who had eyes that were just sort of a sea blue and they seemed to sparkle. He's now 11 years old, so this was 7 years ago, and he's recalling... Okay, let me ask you this, first of all. If you were to write a book right now about something that happened when you were four, how would the details go of that book? This is 7 years later.
Depends how intense it was. If I went to heaven, it might be something I remember. I'm not sure.
From when you're four, do you remember anything from when you're 4 years old?
I think heaven's kind of in a different ballpark than like... coconut water on the porch or like Disneyland.
Shut your face. So anyways, I've never read it. Thomas Nelson published the book, said it broke the company sales records. It's, you know, apparently a big book. I've never read it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, I'm not going to say anything specifically to that because I don't know. You know,
yeah, I don't
once
know.
Again, I don't know what happened. I would just say if I read it, I'd want to compare it with what the Bible says about heaven and what the Bible says about Jesus. And take it from there.
Yeah.
Jesus having blue eyes is kind of sketchy to me. He was
Why?
Israeli.
So?
So.
You don't think Said could have big old blue eyes? Didn't Said from Lost have big blue eyes? No, he had brown
I don't
eyes.
Know.
Never mind.
I have met some fair-skinned Israelis before that have blue eyes, but it's less than common.
He's Jesus. You don't think he could have blue eyes?
I'm sure he could if he wanted to. He's like, man, those look so much better than my brown eyes. Blue eyes.
Maybe and they have contacts back.
Maybe he changes eye colors each day. Boom, blue when I'm happy. Red when, oh, you did something bad. And, like, maybe he just changes his eyes colors. Maybe when he wants to scare, like, John the Baptist, he just has white eyes. Boom, white eyes. Ooh.
Oh, crap, Jesus, you've got white eyes. You look like The Undertaker from the WWE. Wow.
I don't know.
We don't know. However, the Bible does, and I like that. Take it to the Word. If there's something that seems shady, man, if your discernment is freaking you out and you're thinking maybe this is shady, chances are it could be shady. So 505-338-3700, the phone number. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live. Hello.
Yeah, I was in the same car as before. I'm sorry I hung up. But
yeah, okay. No problem.
What was the question?
How do you confront a friend in sin?
Yeah.
I'll
just answer my two cents on this, and I'll let Siva do it because he just dealt with this. I'm just going to say in love and in truth.
Yeah.
The two of those paired. Equal pairing, not one over the other, love and truth.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, it's very difficult. You don't have to get into the specifics, but I'm assuming you have a friend right now that's probably doing some pretty stupid things.
Yeah.
Now here's the question, first of all. You got to go back to the Word of God, and you have to, as we just talked about with this last question, you've got to take it back to the Word of God, and you've got to know, okay, is this person in blatant disregard of Scripture, or is this a preference? You know what I mean? Is this person really in sin? Now, if it's something like, well, yeah, he's having sex with his girlfriend, sweet, that's definitely blatant disregard to 1 Corinthians 6, chapter 6, or, I mean, there's many places where it talks about sexual immorality.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing I would say is make sure that you know that you know that you know, not like a speculation or and not like a, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and not a non-essential.
Yeah.
Like, he takes communion this way and I take communion that way, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
So make sure it's an essential.
Without getting into the specifics, I mean, this friend of yours, you know, what's up?
I just like see him in front of my face. I think he's just, for the most part, falling away from God, but I just see him cussing and stuff all the time. It's just... Yeah, but I just haven't confronted him on it yet. I just want to know how.
Okay. So something like that, cussing, the way he carries himself out on Facebook or something like that. I remember one time I had to talk to a friend because, you know, and before, we're not going to get into the semantics of, hey, it's okay to drink or not to drink. But what drives me nuts is when people post photos of their beer on Facebook. Drives me crazy.
Yeah, makes
this
me
is just
angry
a personal
too.
Thing. It just frustrates me to no end because I'm like, really, bro? Why? For
you,
what purpose?
Do you want to start something with me?
Yeah.
I want to start every time I go out to eat, take a picture of my Coke and say, man, this Coke is so good.
Right here. High five.
Homebrewed Coke from Il Vicino in a pint glass. I'm going to start doing that. Do you want to start doing that with me?
I will start doing that with you.
All right.
Yes. Hey, I will absolutely start doing it every single time. On
every
Instagram.
Single time.
This is the most delicious Dr. Pepper I've ever had. Yeah. And then people will be like,
what is that? When I'm at UFC fights, I'm going to take a picture of like the UFC and a Coke and say, Cokes, UFC, and Jesus. To God be the glory on Facebook. I'm going to start doing that.
So, okay, to get to your question, honestly, I'll tell you what, I had to talk to a very dear friend of mine just today, actually, without going into the details of the situation, a dear friend of mine I've been praying for a while, had the normal conversation, had the, hey, let's go out to lunch, we talked, what's going on, how you feeling, how's your walk with Jesus, man, what's been going on, what's God been showing in your life, man, I'm really struggling, I'm really dealing with this, da 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 da, laid it all out, okay, cool, how can I come alongside you and pray for you, what can we do to get you through this type conversations, right, and it was like, right on, I feel like that's going to be good. Well, here it is, you know, weeks later, no change, blatant disregard. And so then it was like, okay, so I had to go back to my friend. The first time I went and said, hey, this is what Scripture says. Let's get through this. What's going on? Why are you an idiot? No, I didn't say that part. But
yes,
I wanted
to.
No, I didn't the first time. You know, I was like, dude, this is what the Bible says. So you're just going to have to come to a point where you believe what God's word says and you adhere to it. Or you don't call yourself a Christian.
Yeah.
And so today that was the conversation I had to have. Hey, man, this is what God's word says. We've already gone over this. You know what God's word says, and you're not adhering to it. You're choosing to blatantly walk in sin. And that is not something I can take part in. Scripture tells us, Paul talked about this, and he said, man, with such a brother, talking about the sexually immoral, with such a brother, don't even eat. And that's not talking about, and he said, not at all meaning the people of the world, because then you'd have to leave earth. However, somebody who says, dude, I'm walking with Jesus and I love him and I'm also having sex with my girlfriend, or I'm also, you know, hitting the bong on a daily basis. I'm dropping F-bombs like they're going out of style. I'm acting like a D-bag. Like, I can't hang out with that. You know what I mean? And so that's when you confront your friend in love, as Nate said, in love. But in truth, and sometimes love has to have that truth, you know, as Colossians talks about, when dealing with outsiders, those that aren't believers, you deal with them graciously, sprinkle with salt. You know what I'm saying? And that's for outsiders. So, man, there's no sprinkling of salt. This is straight up salt in the eyeballs.
In the wound.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You need to hit them with the truth, but make sure you approach it in love and you come to them. I'm not going to lie, dude. I'm a man. I will tell you straight up today. This person I talked to is one of my dearest friends in the universe. I started crying today. I started crying because I care deeply about my friend. I care deeply about my friend's salvation and his relationship with God. And I see some things in said friend's life that aren't lining up right. And I wanted him to know that I care about him, that he's not alone, that he doesn't have to deal with these things by himself. And when he's ready to confront his sin and he's ready to turn away from that, I will be standing here next to him, walking side by side with him, helping him through this. But until such time, if he's going to live in blatant disregard to Scripture and just kind of spit on the face of Jesus, that's what it was. Hey, man, do you really believe that God exists? Yes. Then why do you live as if he doesn't exist? And that's exactly what I had to tell him today, you know?
Yeah.
And so you've got to approach it in love. But to be completely honest, when you're dealing with a brother, when you're dealing with somebody who considers himself a Christian, it's different. It's not like dealing with an outsider, as the Bible calls it, or an unbeliever. You're gracious with outsiders because you can't be surprised when the world acts like the world and get frustrated so much. And so you deal graciously with those. But for somebody who considers himself a Christian, who says, I love Jesus Christ, but I'm also having sex with my girlfriend, man, there's something wholly different there. And yeah, man, you got to confront that. You really do.
Yeah, I agree.
Does that help?
Yeah, thank you.
All right, man. By the way, don't call them names. I find that usually puts a guard up, and it doesn't really help the situation.
Okay.
All right, man. Have a great night.
He's like, man, I wanted to call names.
I wanted to call him. Yeah. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. Rough night, man. I'll tell you what. 505-338-3700 or facebook.com/mystaticradio. You can also email in. The email address is studio@mystaticradio.com.
On the plus side, I poked a bunch of holes in your mouse pad.
You really did.
A lot. I put a good amount in there.
So here's a question for you, man. As we're talking with the last caller about, you know, confronting your brother in sin.
Yeah.
You know, the scripture does talk about, you know, Paul said, hey, man, with such a brother, you know, caught up in sexual immorality, with such a brother, don't even eat. When do you take it to that? I mean, that's tough, right?
Yeah, man. Because
you don't want to just kind of spit on him and walk away from him.
I think you take it to the point where it's been approached by you. It's been approached by you plus another brother, and they're still unrepentant from sin. And it's not just sexual immorality. It's any sin at that point.
Yeah.
That if they're refusing to walk away from their sin, if they're refusing to repent, then you break fellowship with them. You say, look, until the door's always open, but I'm disfellowshipping you from myself and from fellowship with other brothers and sisters in Christ. And until you're ready to repent from that sin and get your life right, I have nothing to talk to you about.
Right.
Because you're claiming one thing and you're living another thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And now I want to say this. There's absolutely a difference between somebody struggling through something, dealing with something, trying to beat something. Maybe they're an addict.
They're
you know?
Trying to.
Yeah.
They're taking active steps to change.
Right. And so, dude, I'm going through rehab. I got these things. I got an accountability. And then they fall again. That's not a merit for you to – a reason for you to say, oh, you screwed up again? I'm out. You know? That's where the 70 times 70 comes in. And it's like, dude, if
we want to make sure it's sprinkled with grace and mercy.
Absolutely. So, but if somebody's blatantly giving Jesus the middle finger and saying, you know what, I hear what God's word says, but you don't understand my situation. I want to live like this. That's wholly different.
Yeah.
Yeah. 505-338-3700, the phone number. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live. Hello.
Hey.
Hi.
I'm calling in regards of the Heaven is for Real book. I wanted to tell you guys a story.
Okay.
Cool.
There's a young girl in a completely different state. Her parents are atheists, and when she was 4 years old, she said that she saw, also four, when she said that she saw visions from God, and that God told her to paint him and to paint what heaven looks like and to paint these marvelous paintings. And at 4 years old, she painted these amazing paintings, and just amazing. And at four, she drew this painting of Jesus. Well, that young boy from that book, his parents his dad wanted to know what Jesus looked like. And so his dad was looking up pictures of Jesus on the internet. And every picture that he showed that boy would say, no, that's not Jesus. That doesn't look like Jesus. Every single photo he says, that's not Jesus. Well, he pulled up the picture that that young girl drew. And he said, that's Jesus. Hmm. And he said, that is Jesus right there.
That's cool, man. You know, and I think this is really where I fall with that. You know, I've heard a lot of people, I think that's cool, and I think that's awesome, and I think there might be something there, and there might not, I don't know. And this is where I kind of fall with it. I don't think it's important. I don't think the way Jesus looked is really important or plays any role in our belief or our faith in what he did for us on the cross. You know, I think that no matter what you look like, we all bleed red. And that's what saves us from our sin, is the red blood of Christ. So I think that, you know, I think that people always, I think that a lot of people have questions about that. What does heaven look like? What does Jesus look like? I don't think it matters. I think heaven's going to be way cooler than you can ever imagine anyways. And you got to trust God on that. So, you know, that's kind of where I fall with this book. I think that it's cool, and I pray that it's real. But I think that sometimes, even if it is real, Satan can use it to distract us from what's important.
I agree with that 150%.
So it might be 100% real, but I think a lot of people are buying that book by Thomas Nelson when they should be buying books on apologetics. They should be buying books on what is
Bible.
Important. Yeah. You know, I mean, these are the things that are important, and sometimes Satan can use a truth to get us to focus on the truth so we don't focus on the most important truth.
Right.
So if it's real or not, I definitely think people are paying way too much attention to it.
Yeah.
I definitely think it's become way too big of a topic. And it's almost one of those things that people are like, oh, wow, that's cool. And it's really not important. It's just cool. So I pray that God will use it to maybe get people who wouldn't believe in Jesus normally or heaven to say, okay, well, maybe it's real. And, you know, I know there's a lot of mystics out there, so they might hear something like that and say, oh, wow, now I'm intrigued. And I pray that God does use it for his glory. But I think we need to be careful by being so focused on a less important truth than on the most important truth.
There it is. 505-338-3700, the phone number. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. Got to take a quick final break, but coming right back, we'll get more of your Facebook questions and the email questions that we got. And, yeah, as I said, phone lines open, 505-338-3700. You're listening to Static Radio. Steve-O, Pastor Nate, we'll be right back.
Shock Therapy Live. A little heated by tonight's topic? Yes? Build a bridge and get over it. Or better yet, chime in now on Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio or call 505-338-3700. We find it best to get it off your chest. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Welcome back
to Shock Therapy
Live.
Live.
That's right. Steve-O, Pastor Nate Heitzig in studio with you. We got about 15 minutes of show left, and so we're going to, you want to just like lightning round it? We got a bunch of stuff to get through. So
we're not going to get through it all.
We're
going
to try. All right. On the phone, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Okay, so I was calling to say that I have a friend who claims to be a Christian, and a couple of weeks ago I was talking to another one of my friends, and they told me, hey, you know, they said, well, how come you haven't been hanging out with, you know, blah, blah, blah? And I said, well, he's not following the Lord in my eyes, and he's not producing fruit like he should be, as far as I see. And they told me, well, hey, you know, you should start hanging out with him again. They said, I guarantee he's a Christian. He joined this class where they're teaching the Bible and stuff. Well, he didn't necessarily join it willingly. It was his parents made him do it. And his father's in jail. He's doing drugs. He drinks. He's got all kinds of women around him, and he's only 15.
Man.
Wow.
And just a couple of weeks ago, I talked to him and I asked him how his walk with the Lord was going, and he just tells me it's going great and that everything's going great and he's a Christian and his life has changed so much. And so I invited him over to my house. We hung out, we skated, we did everything we wanted to do, and had heard about 1,000 F-words from him, all kinds of stuff about girls, and as far as I know, he's still doing drugs from what I heard, and so I just don't know what to say to him.
Have you ever confronted him and said, hey, you know, I say you're doing great and your walk with the Lord is doing awesome, but it's not, and
right.
I see that it's not, and have you ever confronted him on all the things that you see that are inconsistent with his life?
Well, I started to tell him one thing. I started to tell him when he told me, I started to say, my dad really doesn't like him at all. And since we first met, we were in Boy Scouts together and stuff, and my whole family doesn't really like him, and they're not mean to him, but they make it clear that they don't really want him hanging around me. And so he was asking me, well, hey, how come your dad hates me? And I said, well, he doesn't hate you. He just hates the things that you do.
Yeah.
And it isn't you at all. It's just the things that you do. And he said, well, I don't understand that. He said, because I'm a great person. He said, I don't do bad things. He said, what do? I said, well, you curse, you drink, you do drugs, you just, the list can go on forever. And he's like, well, yeah, I know, but that's not that bad. And I just didn't know what to say.
This is how I would approach that. Say, it's bad enough that if it's unconfessed, it'll send you to hell.
Yeah, and
because
you
know, sin is sin, and I don't care if however you justify your sin. The Bible gives a list of those who won't inherit the kingdom of heaven, and it's drunkards, idolaters, adulterers, and these are lists things that he's doing: a drunkard, an adulterer, you know, all these different things, blasphemers of God. He's blaspheming God with his life, and that he's claiming to be a Christian, and he's not living the life. So I think he needs to be confronted very extreme with the truth and say, look, this is the truth, and I want to let you know that, you know, I love you as a person, but if these things don't change, for two reasons, I'm going to stop hanging out with you. Number one, because I want to make sure that I'm fellowshiping with a believer. And number two, my parents have a hard time with me hanging out with you. And I would say that's a reason enough to not hang out with them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if your parents don't want you hanging out with them, I wouldn't hang out with them. And it sounds like you've got your head on your shoulders and that you're saying, look, I don't really want to hang out with them. And I would frame that to them. Say, look, you know, you're saying you're a Christian, everything's great, but I want to let you know that you're not, and that everything isn't great, and this is why it isn't great, and this is what the Bible says about it, and this is what's going to happen if you don't change. And give him the truth and confront him with the cold, hard truth, and you know, see how he responds to that. But, you know, I would, before I did that, I would run it by your parents, say, hey, I want to let you know that I want to submit to you guys, and I love you guys, and I'm going to stop hanging out with him, but with your permission, I want to confront him on the ways of living his life. And if that's okay with you, I want to tell them the truth and what I think about it, and, you know, see how they respond to that, and make sure that you're submitting to your parents.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and another thing is I see him every Thursday because we go to – I'm homeschooled, and so is he.
Okay.
So I don't know how he even gets into all this stuff, but
right.
I see him every Thursday because we do take a whole bunch of classes and stuff, and I see him every Thursday all day long. And he comes up to me, and he comes up to me, and he comes up to me, and he
wants
to hang out with me, and it's –
I guarantee you, if you confront him on his sin directly, bluntly, of what's going on in his life, he's either going to change and you guys will continue to hang out, or he's not going to want to be around you because he's going to know that you're convicting him.
Yeah.
So that's why I say you've got to be upfront and honest with his sin, and you know, it'll be able to tell really quick what he's whether he's going to accept that or reject that.
Yeah. All right.
Does that help you out, man?
Yes.
Dude, I would also. Take yourself back to Psalm 1. I don't know why. For some reason, it just kind of was thrust on my heart just now. And it's the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked. And it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. You know, and it talks about the wicked, you know, and the wicked is not so. And so, dude, you do. As Nate said, you sound like you've got a good head on your shoulders. Your parents are already saying, don't hang out with this kid. Confront him on his sin. Say, bro, I care about you. And you say you're walking. You're obviously not. Here's what Scripture says. And so if you're going to call yourself a Christian, follow the teachings of Jesus Christ, or don't call yourself a Christian. You know?
Oh, yeah.
So thanks for the call, man.
Well, thank you.
All right,
man. God bless.
505-338-3700, the phone number. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. Or, of course, Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. We got a slew of Facebookers.
Yeah, some of these are theology, and some of them I'm not sure.
Okay.
What do you want to tackle? You tell me.
I don't care. You want to talk about, what do you want to say?
We can talk about it.
I will say this to Charity real quick. Charity, we did a show in the past already about cutting. In fact, it took almost an entire
whole
show
night,
to talk about cutting. So I don't want to cut that question short. So I will say this, Charity, mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive. That is where you can find our podcast. We podcast every single episode of Shock Therapy Live. We've talked about things from masturbation to cutting to pornography addiction to heroin addiction to how to beat certain things, how to stop certain, you know, we've done a lot of shows, and one of them that we focused heavily on was cutting. And so I would recommend, Charity, go back, find that podcast, listen to the show, because it's way too helpful. Big to try and answer in the 6 minutes that we have left, and I don't want to do you a disservice by cutting your question short, because that's a big one, man.
Yeah, and then I would say, didn't we also do a show on the inerrancy of God's Word? Didn't we talk about that?
Yeah, in the inerrancy of God's Word, yeah.
Yeah, I would check that out, too, for Dalton Cortese.
Yeah, and for Thomas Vargas, because the Bible does have to be perfect.
Yeah,
so,
it's very important.
505-338-3700, the phone number. Hello, welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Hey, guys.
So, hello.
This is Robert, who called in last week.
Hey,
what's up,
Robert.
Man? How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing well, man. I want to say thank you for calling in last week. You really brought the truth and right on, dude. All
right, thanks.
Yeah.
I've got to say the devil hit me hard this week. I mean, it pushed me really towards God, and something really disappointed me on Thursday, and I was just so angry with God. But then I realized that I had no reason to be angry with God. He may not want me to be in that situation, and that's okay. But, I mean, listening to Shock Therapy tonight, all these callers are calling in saying that their friends are so-called Christians, but they're not living with God. And I actually just got home from my youth Bible study, and our pastor read us Colossians 3.
Yeah, 5 and 6.
So Colossians 3, 1 through 6, and then verse 17. And if you guys don't mind, I would like to read that right now.
Yeah, man.
All right. So since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above and not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. And then skip over to verse 17. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And that just hit so big for me that, and even going back to what we talked about last week with masturbation and pornography, we need to get rid of that filth from our life and just walk in God, and especially with verse 17. If I'm pretty sure we can't masturbate in the name of God.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Amen.
And with all these friends that are just stumbling with their walk in God, but they claim to be wholehearted Christians, we need to challenge them with these verses, I think, and say, if you're really a Christian, then why aren't you living for God? Why aren't you putting every aspect of your life for God, you know?
Amen. Yeah. Dude, and you know, I just want to say this to you. You said that the devil hit you hard this week. He's going to. You know, you're in a place now where God's using you to speak to people. And the second that God starts using you, Satan wants to attack you. So you're going to get attacked, and you need to expect that, and you need to understand that. But then I would also say, Robert, I believe God's got big plans for your life, man. You sound like a young man who has his head on straight. You want to serve the Lord, and I truly believe God's got big plans for your life, and that, you know, whatever you set your mind to, you're going to be able to do. So know that the more you grow in God and the more you grow in your calling in ministry or whatever, Satan's going to attack you, and it's going to be more, and it's going to be harder, but know it and get ready for it and prepare for it.
Yeah, dude, and man, just think on James chapter 1. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And so, as you go through the trials of this last week and everything that was going on in your life, just know, man, as Nate said, you will be tested, but that is what brings about that perfection. You know what I mean? So,
you know, it's so funny too that you said that you can't masturbate in the name of God or to the glory of God.
Right.
But it's so funny what people will try to do in the name of God. You know, back on the side subject we talked about before, I've literally seen people put pictures of beer and say drinking to the glory of God.
Yeah.
And so people will try, and I think it's really important. People try to claim they're doing something in the name of God. That we need to be very quick to say, no, that doesn't work. That's not something you do in the name of God. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if people have tried to do that before.
Yeah.
That, you know, I'm doing this in the name of God and something that really isn't. So I think it's our role to show believers that that's not the case. And once again, kind of what we talked about tonight, believers and non-believers are a completely different ballgame. And it's our job to point out to believers when they're not living the way that they should.
Yeah, and you nailed it right there. Robert, first of all, thanks for calling in tonight, man.
All right, no problem,
Have
guys.
A great night, man.
God bless, man.
You too. God bless you.
All right. You're right. You nailed it right there with the believers and the non-believers, because I think a lot of times when we do talk, Christians will say, well, it's our job. You know, we're not supposed to judge, but we're supposed – and other Christians, when they are being quote-unquote judged, when
yeah.
their Christian friends are coming to them and saying, bro, don't be an idiot. You're in sin. Oh, stop. You're just judging me. You're judging me right now, and dude, that's when we can take him back to scripture and say, you're right. I'm your fruit inspector right now, and I'm checking you out, and your fruit sucks.
Yeah.
It's rotten, it's weak, and get that trash out of here. But when it comes to the non-believers, we got to be very careful, because we are not to judge those.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They don't know the truth.
We got to differentiate the two.
Yeah, absolutely.
We talked about this when we did our Joel Osteen show. We talked about some of the verses that talk about how we should judge the church,
right.
that the judgment of the Lord starts in the church, and some verses like that. And I would go through the Bible and pick out some of those if you have a Christian who's telling you that you shouldn't judge them, because we're supposed to.
Yeah.
And it's biblical to do that. So.
Yeah, there it is. Dude, thanks to everybody who called in tonight for Shock Therapy Live. If you missed any part of the show, I want to remind you guys, you can go to mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive. It's under the media section. If you don't want to type all that in, just go to mystaticradio.com. Under the media tab, you can subscribe to our podcast. And,
yeah,
get in on some of the past shows that you may
check
have
it out.
Missed.
There's tons. They're all categorized, and it helps life. So
yeah, dude, absolutely. Pastor Nate. You ready to go home?
I'm ready.
It's Sunday night. You going to go get back in the hot tub because you're wearing your swim trunks?
I'm thinking about it.
Yeah?
I wish I could be on my computer in the hot tub.
Yeah.
I wish that was safe.
I'm thinking not so much on that one.
I am going to try it, I think.
Okay. You try. If you die, can I have all your Warcraft stuff?
I don't have any Warcraft stuff.
But like your account, will you send me all your gold and stuff?
I'll ask my wife too, but she'll probably just delete it.
Shock Therapy Live, it is your one-hour call-in show every single Sunday night, 7 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And if you missed a portion of the show, make sure you get to our website, mystaticradio.com. Get the podcast, subscribe. We love you guys, and we are here every single week just to hang out and, you know.
Peace
yeah, that's
out.
It. We'll see you guys next week. Goodbye.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.